Well, praise the Lord on this July the 18th, Lord's Day Sunday morning. Good to be in the house of God. Some people getting flooded. Some people's in drought. Some people's burning to the ground. Some people, they can't even find them. There's a lot of things going on. I'm glad, praise God, my name's in the book. Glad my sin's on the blood. Glad I'm a citizen of that country. Amen. As it's falling apart down here, praise God, it's perfect up there. And it's been an unusual week. I've had a lot of things that I wasn't expecting to happen, like trees falling down that I didn't want to fool with. And anyway, we got all that behind us. And praise God, thank God for a day of rest. Hallelujah. Amen. We're in the book of Daniel. We finished up Revelations. And Daniel kind of parallels Revelations and the prophecies of Daniel. But we'll be starting in Daniel chapter 1. I want to read a little bit about it. I've got a Schofield King James Bible, and I recommend that to anybody. But up above the book of Daniel, it says, Daniel, like Ezekiel, was a Jewish captive in Babylon. He was of a royal or princely descent for his rank and comeliness. He was trained for palace service. And, he kind of was exceptional. His long life extended from King Nebuchadnezzar to King Cyrus. And he was a contemporary of Jeremiah, Joshua the high priest of the restoration of Ezra, and Zerubbabel. Daniel is indispensable introduction to the New Testament prophecy, the themes of which are the apostasy of the church, the manifestation of the man of sin, the great tribulation, the return of the Lord, the resurrections, and the judgments. These, except the first, are Daniel's themes also. But Daniel's distinctively the prophet of the times of the Gentiles, mentioned in Luke 21, verse 24. His vision sweeps the whole course of the Gentile world rule to its end in catastrophe and to the setting up of the Messiah kingdom. Daniel is in four broad divisions. Number one, the introduction, the personal history of Daniel, from the conquest of Jerusalem to the second year of King Nebuchadnezzar. Number two, the visions of Nebuchadnezzar and their results. And number three, the personal history of Daniel under Belshazzar and Darius. And number four, the visions of Daniel, which will be in the latter part, recorded in Daniel. And Daniel covers a period of about 73 years. Verse 1, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day you've given us, Lord, to rest, Lord, to come to the house of prayer, to come to the house of praise, Lord, your house, Lord, to feast upon the things of God. We pray for your blessings today upon our efforts. Lord, pray you open your words to us, make your words known to us, open our eyes we might see. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would show, Lord, yourself to be God today and in our service, Lord. The psalmist said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We pray that, Father God, today. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Well, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. That means he was going to go to war with Judah, and he camped about them. And it says, verse 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And you know, when I read this, I realized things don't always go like we want them to go. I mean, I want Trump to get elected again. I did. I voted. I prayed. But you know, sometimes things don't go like what we want. And Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, as His soul was exceedingly sorrowful unto death, that fleshly battle of surrendering His will to God's will, He said, "Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And in this story we're reading here in the book of Daniel, you would think that God would give Judah victory over this heathen king Nebuchadnezzar, but the Bible says that He gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, and they lost the battle. Verse 3, "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." They're going to have to learn another language. But you know, you had to meet the criteria to be in this number of whom they were seeking. You had to have no blemishes. I think about blemishes, man, I tell you what, I wouldn't fit that right off the bat. But they had no blemishes. They had to be well favored, and they had to be skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science. And what I'm saying is, it wasn't just anybody got chose. These were exceptional, these four Hebrew boys were. And verse 5 says, "And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and the wine which he drank, and nourished them 3 years, and at the end thereof they might stand before the king." So they had 3 years to prepare to meet this heathenistic king Nebuchadnezzar. And he had good things about him, and he had bad things about him, and the bad outweighed the good, I can tell you that right off the bat. But now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. There's four Hebrew boys that were chosen out of the number of the ones that were selected. Verse 7 says, "And unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belshazzar, and unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego." And it kind of takes a turn right here. You see, they were offered in verse 5, they were offered a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank. I want you to notice what Daniel did. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You know, Daniel done more than purpose in his heart. He made a request that he would not be partaking of the king's provisions here. And you know what? The king, it was okay for the king, but it wasn't okay for Daniel. And I want you to know this distinction of Daniel. Boy, God noticed that. And we're thankful that, you know, no matter what our circumstances are, I don't know about you, but as for me, Paul said, to live is Christ, He said, die is gain. I don't know what a day is going to bring. I don't know what is on the calendar tomorrow. But I'm kind of like Joshua of old. He said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, just because we live in America don't mean that I have to accept some of the things that America's promoting right now, because I'm against them. And I don't want to be a partaker of their sins. But America's not what it used to be. I'm 67 years old. And I remember back a day when America stood 10 foot tall for God. And America, it was different than all the other countries, so much that the other countries came to America to see what made it great, and they found out that it was the churches of America that made America great. And here Daniel is, and boy, I commend him highly. You know, he spoke out that he didn't want to partake of the king's meat nor of the king's wine. And he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself with that. Verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Can you think of anyone else that got sold into slavery and he got put in prison and God gave him favor in the eyes of the keeper of the prison? He put him in charge.
Joseph.
See what I mean about the difference God makes? Yeah. Even though this was not what Daniel would have to be, but even in the circumstances Daniel's in, God gave him favor, verse 9, and he gave him tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. In other words, Daniel, he had a leg to stand on here, and God had given him that leg. Verse 10, and the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liken than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. You see, all of them wasn't like Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, but these four right here, they wanted to keep themselves separate. They wanted to put God first, and they were making really a sacrifice here in their request.
Even this
eunuch, you know, he was fearful too. He said, I don't want to get in trouble because of you. I want you to know I'll lose my head if I'm not careful here. And Daniel, being a reasonable man, verse 11, then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuch had set over Daniel, Hannah, Mishael, and Azariah, he said, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. That's all he asked for, was 10 days.
Yeah.
You know, that was a reasonable request. Daniel didn't say, you know, a year. They had 3 years. And he didn't ask no year. He said, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Now, you know, pulse is beans. We know what water is, so they just wanted meager things. They just wanted a portion of beans and some water to drink. It was kind of like a sacrificial thing to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But they were going with God, and they believed that God could even sustain them with this meager portion. And all they asked for was 10 days to prove it. Verse 13, then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest, deal with thy service. Now they put this matter in God's hand.
Mm-hmm.
They made a meager request.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm trying to put myself in this situation. Daniel loved God to the point that he loved God more than his daily meat. And he loved God more than what he needed fleshly. And he said, just give me a chance here to keep from defiling myself. And his humble request, he said, after 10 days, look upon us, and as thou seest, then deal with thy servants. Verse 14, so he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. Verse 15, and at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. You know, Daniel just asked, you know, God does say, try me and prove me in the book of Malachi.
Right.
He just asked for an opportunity not to defile himself, and a simple test in only 10 days. And in that simple test, and in that simple 10 days, this prince of the eunuchs, he noticed, you know, that they looked better than the ones that did eat the king's T-bones and ribeyes and did drink the king's wine. Verse 16, thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge. You hear that?
Yes.
Boy, I tell you, I thank God for the things of God. The Bible said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God.
Amen.
And God giveth to all wisdom and understanding. And notice here it said, and for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. God gave them a gift for their faithfulness, for their faith, and their willingness, just eat beans, drink water. That sacrifice they made, God, he honored that. Solomon, he asked God for wisdom, and God thought he would ask for long life and riches and the necks of his enemies, but he said, Lord, I'm just asking for wisdom to lead your people, and is saying, please the Lord. And the Lord made Solomon the wisest man that's ever been born, man-wise that is. But he also gave him riches, long life, and he also gave him the necks of his enemies. I mean, Solomon, he had such peace that they wasn't worried about no wars. They had such riches that silver was like rocks. I mean, Solomon just made a meager request, and God gave him more than he even asked for. And the same thing here. God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams, and it's a good thing Daniel did, because he'll need that here shortly.
Yeah.
Now at the end of the days that the king had said that he should bring them in, then the princes of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Now, he said at the end of 3 years, verse 5, so it's been 3 years, and the king communed with them, among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. I want you to notice they got a promotion. They got a position right before the king. They were noticed above the ones, you know, that were set aside for this request of the king. Verse 20, and in all manners of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Now, Daniel here, he put God first, and God gave him everything that he needed. He gave him the health he needed. He gave him the understanding and the skills that he needed. And you know what? The others, I'm going to guess, they probably went with science. You know, today it's a big thing now, go with science.
Yeah.
And you know, you go with science all you want to, I'm going with God. Amen. Amen. And I won't forget my uncle, Doyle Matthews. His health was in decline, and he had cancer, had it really, really bad, and he didn't have long to live. And I hadn't been saved very long, and I was fasting, and I was praying for my uncle, Doyle Matthews. And, you know, the Lord kind of directed me to go over and see him. And so I did. I drove into town. He lived over on Walnut Street. And I pulled in his driveway. When I pulled in his driveway, he was in the front yard talking with his neighbor. And I got out and I walked up to him and I talked to my uncle. And I said, Uncle Doyle, I said, I've been praying for you and fasting for you. And I said, Uncle Doyle, I do believe that if you just bring your situation to the Lord, He could help you with it. And his neighbor said, Doyle, this young man's telling you right. That's what you need to do. But what his answer was astounded me and his neighbor also. My Uncle Doyle said, no. He said, they've come out with a new pill, and I'm going to trust that new pill. And I was his pallbearer within 10 days. And you know, you got to be careful what you go with, what you trust, what you put your faith in. My Uncle Doyle put his faith in science, and I'm not going to diminish science. I think science has its place. But when it comes to certain things like your life, you better put God in your before your eyes. Amen. I mean, put Him above all. Go with Him, is what I'm trying to say. And Daniel did that. He put the Lord first, and God supplied every need. The Bible, I think it's in Matthew chapter 6, says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all those things will be added unto you. You just put God first, and everything else will be just fine. Daniel chapter 2, verse 1, and in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep break from him. That happened to me last night. I was sleeping pretty good. I woke up at 2 o'clock this morning, and I didn't wake up wide awake. I just woke up and realized it was 2 o'clock in the morning. I just went to praying. It wasn't too long. I went back to sleep. But, you know, early in the morning's a good time to pray.
Yes, it is.
And I realized, you know, I wasn't like I wasn't sleepy. And it wasn't like I couldn't go back to sleep. I just realized it was a good time to pray. And I was praying about a lot of things. Things that I felt was more important than even my sleep. But here, Nebuchadnezzar, his sleep break from him. I don't think he went to prayer. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. Now understand this. This dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had, it had significance. I was just dreaming some kind of stupid stuff like I was working on my truck or selling my truck or something stupid. It was a crazy dream. But I did wake up, and in the stillness of the morning, this morning, I just went to God in prayer. I've always got a long list of things to pray about, and I just started praying for them early this morning. But his dream a little different than my dream. His dream has significance. And verse 3, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream. Reminds me of a guy that said, I have a dream. And he's no longer here. I'm not going to try to diminish from him. I felt like the man was in some ways good, but I think he got turned in the wrong direction. For everybody who don't know, he got shot by a jealous husband because he was sleeping with his wife. I just want you to know everything in what it appears, if you know what I mean. But anyway, he said, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. She was with him when he shot him. That's not no secret. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Shirach, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. They said, we're going to need a little help here. We can't just interpret your dream. You're going to have to help us out a little bit. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. You know, even with this threat from the king, they still couldn't interpret the dream.
Yeah.
You know, some things only God can do. When Moses and Aaron came before Pharaoh, and they told Pharaoh the word of God, let my people go, Pharaoh said something like, who is the Lord that I should obey him? And make a long story short, they started doing miracles before Pharaoh, throwing the staff down, it became a serpent, and the magicians threw their staffs down, and they became serpents, and that went on for a little while. And then there was something that Moses and Aaron did, I think it was lice, and they couldn't do it. And they told Pharaoh, they said, this is the finger of God. And there's some things man can do, and there's some things that man cannot do. And he said, you're going to be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. In other words, he said, I'm going to destroy you and everything you got. Verse 6, but if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. Don't you know they wanted to do that?
Yeah.
You see what I mean? I mean, man is limited to what he can do. And the Bible said things that are impossible with man are possible with God, because with God all things are possible. They couldn't even have a funeral with Jesus around because he was the resurrection. And when they come by him with a dead boy in a coffin, the dead boy rose and came back to life. And no, man don't understand God. Most of them don't even try to understand God. Most of them, their concept of God, they think he's like them. Yet God spoke plainly. See if I can find this real quick. I think it's Psalms chapter 50. Pretty blunt too. God says here in Psalms chapter 50, he said, sin, verse 17, sin, thou hatest instruction and cast my words behind thee. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentedest with him and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou setteth and speaketh against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. This is the key verse right here. These things thou hast done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now this warning right here is a pretty serious warning. Verse 22 of Psalms 50. Now consider this, ye that forget God. That's a terrible statement all by itself. Lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. That means the medicine don't work.
Right.
That means the doctor says, nothing I have to offer you. You know, with God there's hope. With God there's help. I'm just telling you, you better be wise in what you put your trust in.
Amen.
But this king threatened them. Many offered them gifts, offered them rewards, offered them honor. You know they wanted to do this.
Yeah.
Verse 7, they answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it." They were clueless in this matter. The king answered and said, "I know of certainty that you would gain the time, because you see that the thing has gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof." Now, Nebuchadnezzar's put them on the spot here. In other words, there's not going to be any pretending in this matter. And in verse 10, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, "There's not a man upon the earth." "There's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, Lord, nor ruler that asketh such things as any magician or astrologer or Chaldean." They said, "King, what you're asking us is impossible. There's nobody that can tell you your dream nor give you an interpretation thereof." And they overshot it a little bit right there. That's right. And they're fixing to find out there is a man. Amen. Verse 11. "It is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods," and that's a little g, "whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon." Did you notice in this inquiry or in this request that Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego weren't brought in before the king? Did you notice where the king started at? In verse number 2, the king commanded all the magicians. He had a lot of confidence in magicians.
Yeah.
All the astrologers, he had a lot of confidence in the astrologers. And the sorcerers, he had confidence in the sorcerers. And the Chaldeans, he had confidence in them. But you know what? He inquired to the wrong ones for what he was wanting. And the king's mad. Now he wants to kill all the wise men of Babylon. That includes Daniel. And verse 13, "And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain." Now, it's fell on Daniel now. He's not even been brought into this. Now that he's been made aware of it, it's in worst case scenario. I mean, it's bad to the max. In verse 14, "Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, 'Why is the decree so hasty from the king?' Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel." In other words, he said, "You got left out of this matter. Now you're getting caught up in the carnage of it, the collateral damage here." Verse 16, "Then Daniel went in and desired of the king." You know what? He didn't run from this.
No.
You know, he went in there with faith. Said Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Now the king's wanting someone to help him. Now help has finally come in. And Daniel said, "King, just give me a little time and I'll show you the interpretation." Then Daniel went to his house, made the thing known unto Hanani, Mishael, I hope I'm saying these names right, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Did you notice that Daniel took the right course of action? He said, let's seek God concerning this secret in verse 18. And in verse 19, it was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He said, thank you, Lord. You know, we're not at a loss unless we forget to pray.
Right.
Now, the Lord changed the message today. And I'm going to be preaching today on did you think to pray? And I felt like, you know, that I need to preach this message more than the one that I was going to preach about the power of the Word of God, which I am going to preach that message. But this took the precinct or the preeminence of that message, and I felt like I needed to preach that other message more so than the one that I was aiming to preach. But you see, even in the Sunday school lesson here, what a difference prayer makes. Daniel went into his house and made the thing known to Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. You know what? Two is better than one. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. Jesus said, if any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, it'll be done of my Father which is in heaven. Daniel didn't take this thing on himself, is what I'm trying to say. He said, let's all pray about this. Let's all seek God about this. We need to pray and seek the Lord concerning this. And you know, I like that he went to these other three and said, let us all four, verse 18, let us all four desire the mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. And they prayed together.
Right.
And the secret was revealed unto Daniel, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Ain't that good?
Mm-hmm.
That God showed them what no one else could show them. God gave them what no one else could give them.
Right.
It was God that gave the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. But Nebuchadnezzar couldn't handle the dream, and he's going to mess it up even when he finds out what it was. But anyway, verse 20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And I say, amen.
Amen.
Verse 21, and He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. Daniel, he's just praising God for God honoring their prayers and their efforts to find out this matter. Verse 23, I thank Thee and praise Thee. Boy, that's a good way to start out a day. Amen. O Thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me now what we desired of Thee, for Thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. They were in between a rock and a hard place. It wasn't like they had any wiggle room. And Daniel said, can I get a little time? He said, will you give me a little time in verse 16? And the king, wanting to know the interpretation so bad, he probably said, I'll give you one night. I don't know, it's not in here. That's just some vain thought there. But he did give them time. And they did take this to God in prayer. God did honor their prayer. And here they are, they're happy. God made known unto them the king's matter. Look here at verse 24. Therefore Daniel went in unto Azariah, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon, Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. You know, Daniel even helped out his enemies here. I mean, Daniel wasn't of, the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, or the Chaldeans, but he's kind of, asking for them to be spared. He said, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Hey, he's kind of going the extra mile in this matter. Verse 25, then Azarok brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I have found a man. You know, they said there wasn't no man in verse number 10?
Yeah.
Look here. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matters. Listen here what Azarok. Then Azarok brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? You know, I'm going to say Daniel here probably wanted to say something kind of a little sarcasm, but he wasn't sarcastic. He was very respectful. But you know what? He could have said something like, King, if you'd come to me first, we wouldn't be in this predicament.
Yeah.
But anyway, the king answered and said, are you able to make me known the dream and the interpretation thereof? Verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm glad there's a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be, notice this, in the latter days. You see, that's pretty good significance. Remember me preaching about are we in the last days? Remember that? God has made known unto King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. As for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mayest know the thoughts of thine heart. Verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This dream that King Nebuchadnezzar dreamed, it's kind of like, the end of the times of the Gentiles. It's a reference to the Antichrist. It's a reference to all the failed powers of the world. And he said, O king, thou sawest, behold, a great image. You know, men have been building great images. Mm-hmm. Skyscrapers.
Yeah.
The Titanic, 1912. Some fool said even God couldn't sink that ship, and it sunk on the maiden voyage. Got to be careful when it comes to God.
That's right.
Whoever made that statement wasn't thinking, because that provoked God to take it to the bottom. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This image whose brightness was excellent stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, and his feet part of iron and part of clay. That's about where we're at today. I mean, I ain't kidding you, buddy. We've been so divided that I don't know if we can stand much longer in the day and hour we're living in. There's so much going on, it's hard to keep up with, and I don't want to bore you this morning. But He said, verse 34, thou sawest till that a stone, glory to God, was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That's talking about the Lord coming and bringing judgment upon the world,
yeah,
and vengeance upon the world, and He's going to smite all the kingdoms of the world, and He's going to set up His kingdom, and He's going to rule and reign first time for 1,000 years upon the throne of His father David. Verse 36, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation there before the king. We was talking outside there right before Sunday school, and Sister Bonnie was mentioning about speaking in tongues, and let it be no more than two or three, and let one interpret. Well, Daniel's going to interpret this dream. Amen. And we will stop right there. I'm looking at the time clock. And we'll stop right there at verse 36, and we'll get into interpretation in the next lesson. But I'm enjoying teaching out of Daniel already. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it is up to date too.